Welcome to the Big Mike Fund Podcast, where you learn about advanced wealth building strategies from real estate investing to creating massive ROI and secured retirement profits. So pour yourself a cup of coffee, grab a notepad, and lean in. Big Mike has got the mic, starting now.
Welcome to the Big Mike Fund Podcast. I'm the Big Mike, Mike Zlatnik. Today it is my pleasure and a privilege to welcome Adam Saufi and Justin Sliva. Did I guys pronounce your names correctly?
Mike, you nailed it, man.
Yeah, right on.
Appreciate that. Great to have you. And you come from one of my favorite cities in the United States. I live in New York, but I really love coming to Dallas and actually going to Fort Worth. Strange as it sounds, the New York guy, the finance guy, loves to come and watch the rodeo. Sort of, it's really, really cool. It's just kind of the country life and the traditional Texas, I guess, fun time. So,
yeah, cowboy hats and boots means big deals for you, right?
That's right. Cowboy hats and boots and the guns.
I don't want us to make it sound like Fort Worth is like the old timey town. I mean, we're a big town.
Yeah,
we're not Manhattan size, whatever, but you know, we're big country.
We have the big country, big heart. How about that?
Yeah, there we go.
Thank you guys. So tell folks a little bit about you, your family. You guys have an awesome podcast called Casual Fridays, REI. And you run wonderful business out of Fort Worth. So would you be so kind as to introduce yourself a little bit about, you know, who you are, your family, your wife's kids, pets, cats, anything that you want to talk about?
Yeah, it's thanks for the nice intro there. It's fun. We've been Casual Friday REI podcast. We've had it for about 2.5 years, 330 plus episodes now. So it's been fun. We've got to meet a ton of people from around the world and help a lot of people on their real estate investing journey. My name is Justin. I'm the part of the duo here with Adam. And we have helped, 500-600 plus clients now on our own, bought 40 in real estate, 40 in 40 different states from our home here based in Fort Worth. And, you know, family-wise, that anybody gets into real estate investing, it's because they want to have that freedom, that time. They want to be successful. They want to chase that entrepreneurial dream. And it ultimately comes back to family and friends and being able to have a little bit of freedom there. And for me, I'm married. I've been with my wife for just past the 15 years as married couple, and we're coming on 20 years together. And it's fun for us for being a little bit younger. We were at a wedding last weekend and we got to do the dance, and it was us and the groom's and the bride's parents left out on the dance floor when they go through the year count. So for being young, we've been together a long time. We have three kids, and the kids have twins that are 7 and a 2.5-year-old who is a pleasant surprise baby. We say he's going to change the world because he wasn't supposed to be here, and yet he's here and full of energy. So no pets, and Adam's got two pets, enough for me. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, those are my babies. I don't actually have any like actual kids. My two kids are covered in fur. I have a dog and a cat, and I spend most of my time with them if I'm not with Justin, really. It's like so we do real estate, we do land, and we hang out with his actual kids and my fur kids.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you for the awesome introduction. I appreciate that. And congratulations, Justin, for a great long marriage and three kids. You're blessed. So great to hear. And Adam, you got two wonderful kids, the pets. I have four kids and a cat, the fifth child. So you could just got first and second on your path. So that's know right. The drill.
Yep.
It's awesome. So let's talk a little bit about kind of your real estate journey. You guys do land. So let's just start with, what do you do? Like, what is the business? How do you make money? How do you buy land? What do you do with it? How do you work with investors? Just real basic stuff.
Yeah, Big Mike, I think it's important to kind of go back in time and let Adam kind of say how we ended up in land, because Adam was a single family investor. He was a real estate agent back before the crash. So I'm going to let him go into that, because I think it's important that, you know, that we have tried the plethora or the gamut of real estate. And when we found land, it really hit home for us because of the simplicity and the high ROI that we see. And I think it's important to kind of tell the story and kind of go into that. So, you know, me and Adam have been friends for 25 plus years. And we had the side hustle. We've always had those side hustle mentalities and kind of going through that. We had an Amazon dropship business, and that's kind of popular. This is one of the buzzwords you see on the Instagrams or the Facebooks is, oh yeah, dropship this, you know, you can fulfill it by Amazon. You don't have to do anything, work from your laptop. But we had three number one products, and we thought it was cool, but it wasn't really where either one of our hearts were at. And Adam comes to me one Saturday afternoon and says, "Hey, man, we want to start this real estate business, and we got to liquidate the Amazon stuff." And I said, "Yeah, okay, let's start a real estate business." He says, "No, I want to do it by myself." And so that, and I think it takes it back to his history in real estate and him wanting to go back and conquer this again. And I'll let you kind of tell a little bit about that, because I think it's important to know how we ended up in land.
Yeah. And Mike, he knows how he didn't stop talking, because he wanted to get that story out where I wouldn't, I told him I want to do it on my own. Like, he never lets me forget that I said
he didn't want to do real estate with me.
Yeah. So I've been in real estate. This is my going on 16th year now, most of the time full-time, also some part-time stuff. Specifically back in 08-09, I was doing traditional real estate stuff as a realtor, as an investor, house flipper, all that. And the market crashed and I got stuck hanging on to a bunch of stuff I could no longer afford. You know, cost of flipping houses gets expensive and whatnot. And when no one's buying them, it gets even more expensive. So took a big hit, got out of real estate for a little bit, went and worked for Justin on the railroad. And while I was there, the only thing I wanted to do was get back into real estate. And one day I came across this guy saying that he was buying land for $100 an acre, and he was selling it for $300, $400, and $500 an acre. And I literally thought there was no way, like, who would ever buy, who, how you could ever buy an acre of land for $100, but I had nothing to lose. So I jumped in, I tried it, and it worked. Like, the first deal I ever bought, there were 3 2.5 acre parcels, and I paid $250 for each one. And then I turned around, I sold each one for $1,000 a piece. And that was it for me. I was hooked. And at this time, Justin's seeing this going on, and some of the other deals that came in, I know, like, he was like chomping at the bit to get into it. And I think that's kind of where his story took off, because even though I was still doing it on my own, he started his business almost at the exact same time. Then we kind of grew it from there.
Yeah. And it's fun, because, you know, when you look back and you say, okay, hey, if I made, you know, like his example, bought for $250, sold for $1,000, you know, that's, some people, that number doesn't excite them, but there's a vast majority of people in the country that an extra $1,000 a month or $2,000 a month really changes the trajectory of their life. And as you know, running a fund is money compounds. And so if you can keep $1,000 to work, or you can get $2,000, you compound it and keep turning it, you can really grow into what I like to call the Chicago roll. You have a nice little nest egg that's out there turning for you. And then you can move into bigger deals or move into passive stuff like syndications, like yourself, like y'all do. And these guys get preferred rates on that. But there has to be an answer to the question is, how do I get from, you know, barely getting by and having less than $5,000 in my savings account, like 85% of Americans, or going to where I'm an accredited investor and I have $1 million to work with, or I have $100,000 to work with. But there's oftentimes not the answer to do that. And the trajectory that we found with land, it allows us to say, hey, we can start with a minimum investment and compound it up to where, you know, last year, I think at the end of the year, we had, speaking for myself, I had just close to $1 million in cash just out working, buying and selling land. And we're seeing traditionally 135% ROI. So, you know, that's the fun part about this, is how do we grow those numbers to we can have a conversation. And I think me and Adam had the conversation last week. It's like, hey, this next turn, we're really going to have too much cash just sitting out working. We're going to have to figure out, where do we put it next? What's the next move with it? Because there's only so much crypto we can buy. There's only so many pieces of land deals that we want to do, because our time is valuable, because we're part of this. This is the freedom that we're looking for.
Thanks, guys, for sharing that. So let's dive into this a little bit more. So land, where do you buy land? Where do you find opportunities? What's your average deal size? Is it still a couple $100 to buy and a few thousand to sell? Or have you gotten a little bit bigger? Are you buying the lots for a few $1,000 and you're selling for 10, 15? What's working and where are these lots? Are they in Texas? Are they other places? Just curious. A little bit more color.
Yeah. It's, go ahead. If you,
I'll start with like where it's at. So basically all the land that we buy is rural county land. I mean, it's 2 to 3 hours outside of a major city, and that can be done in anywhere in any state. And what we tell a lot of people when they get started is, shop where you have the money to shop if you're not comfortable with partnering. Right. And so places all over the western part of the United States and counties that are 2, 3, 4 hours outside of major cities, you can go buy land for $100, $200 an acre that you're going to sell for $300, $400, $500, $700 an acre at market value. That's no longer the deals that we really focus on.
Yeah.
Because once you get started, you can scale up. And that's what we quickly did, like that buy for $250, sell for $1,000. I mean, that was one of the last times we ever did that, because you can, once you've got money and confidence, you know, you scale up. Whereas I think the most common deal someone does in their first year at our training now is buy for 10, sell for 30.
Yeah, that's and we kind of coined the phrase bass boat property. And what that is we sell a product type to our end user that is kind of like that additional thing that you really don't need. You're the guy that goes to the office on Monday, beat your chest because you went and rode your Harley, or you went and took your bass boat out, or you took your RV out. It's that $50,000, $60,000 piece, extra thing that you kind of see as an investment, but you have the disposable income that you can take on the debt, or you could pay cash for it. And what we found is that this is 2 to 3 hours outside the major metropolitan areas. It has multiple uses. You could put a cabin on it. You could camp on it. You could hunt on it. You could fish on it. And we coined the phrase bass boat property just because it was a easy way to describe what the end user is going to do with it and what our avatar is on our purchase. And knowing that and reverse engineering it back, it was an easy way for us. So typical deal is sub $2,500 market value per acre. And we're buying them at 30 to 35 cents on the dollar. And then we turn around and we can offer owner financing as an exit strategy or sell it for cash. And we're able to leverage real estate agents in the area because the product that we're selling is at a value enough, it makes it worthwhile to them.
So a great explanation. That's pretty cool. You guys are sort of, I mean, I don't know if you know Discount Lots guys. I think you do. We chatted a little bit about this and I had them on the podcast before. They do something similar. They buy also land again, away from the big cities. And usually you could sell them for cash, or you could flip on a seller financing. When you flip on a seller financing, do you actually transfer the title and you record a deed of trust or a mortgage, or do you basically do like a land contract where, you know, once they stop paying, you don't have to foreclose on the beast?
Yeah.
When you sell cash, I mean, do you sell? So give me an example. If you were to flip it on a seller financing versus cash, what's the difference? If you bought some for three grand, what would you sell it for in seller financing? What would you sell it for cash?
Yeah. So Adam kind of alluded to it. The 3 grand deals, we kind of stay out of. So on a 10 for 30 deal, like we'll pay 10 for a property and sell it for 30. We would, on a seller finance, it could go through title. We put those fees towards them, meaning it's going to be with a deed of trust or it's a typical mortgage depending on the state requirements. Or, you know, obviously for us as the seller, a land contract's perfect because we don't have to record it and deal through those extra costs, but it's not a deal breaker for us. I'm not a one way or the other, but what we do is we do require certain down payments and interest rates. So for me, cause our land businesses are different, but for me, and I'll speak for me only, I require 30% down and I have 10% interest and there is a $20 a month service fee that's added to that. And I'll hold the note up to 12 years. So if I'm buying it for 30 cents on a dollar, and I'm selling it, I'm getting my money back up front. And then I have 10% attached to my note there and it go up for 12 years. Well, who wouldn't want that with the amortization schedule? You know, you're really front loading your amortization with the interest on the front side, working your balance out. So it's a neat little way to have an alternative exit there. But you know, in the same time, if we bought it for 10 and we list it for 30 and they offer us 27, 28 cash, we'll take that all day as well.
Yeah, that's actually a great example. On a 10K flip to 30, yeah, as long as you get your 10K back and you get a receivable, you got no skin in the game, no risk. I mean, you just have to worry about foreclosure if they stop paying. But you already got 10K of their money, and if this thing is truly worth 30K, you didn't lose anything.
Yeah.
From that perspective, it actually feels pretty safe. And I mean, it's a great income-producing instrument, so... Agreed. Makes a lot of sense. Love that one. Yeah. So that's a great example. What about you, Adam? Any specific examples of what do you like?
Yeah. I mean, I'm very similar in things that Justin does. Justin, like, maybe the only biggest difference is that Justin will charge a high interest rate, which it's purely just a marketing thing, right? People, when they buy these owner finance land, most of the time, they don't even care how much interest they're paying. They just look to see if they can make the monthly payment. Oh yeah, monthly payments, $325, perfect. I don't care that 50% of it was interest because I didn't really look into it that deep. But as a marketing tool, sometimes I'll just offer 0% interest, but I'll raise the total sales price so that I'm still getting that interest, right? It's just built in. But every deal's different. And, you know, and especially when, you know, same as like coming to doing a land contract or closing it through a title company, a lot of times you tell the buyer what you want, and 9 times out of 10, they don't even know to ask differently.
Yep. Half the America buys properties, including their primary residences and on payment stream, right? And what can you afford to pay? All the underwriting, all the banks, it's the debt to income ratio. Can you meet that requirement? What's going to be the payment? And that's makes total sense. So Absolutely love the business. So how do investors work with you? Just curious, are there investors in your deals? Do they give you cash to buy it, or you got enough cash, you don't need the money? You guys sell educational product, or just, you know, even if you don't sell anything, you have nothing to sell. Just curious. I have an audience, people, you know, invest with us. If they want to reach out, they want to do something with you, is there a cool way, you know, do you work with people, or this is more of a, your own business? Once this thing is cranking, you don't need money from investors, right? You're self-sufficient.
Yeah, it's a fun thing because, yes, we do offer education, of course. It shows people how to do it. It's self-paced. We throw in a free consulting call so people can ask us any questions they come up with, and we help them kind of make sure that they can get launched. We have recently started working in some capacities with investors that where we take on ownership or equity stakes in an LLC that they go in and we buy big subdivides together. So this is one of those things that is newer for us because we're going through that with people that we've had previous business experience with. The second one that we're doing right now, it's got seven guys that have all invested in different projects we've done. So that we brought them on and we're working through that. And so that's a fun one. It's 2,424 acres and we're splitting it up into $500,000 ranchettes. And so that one is it's a $3.4 million buy with about 250,000 in improvements. And then the exit where we conservatively underwrote it at 5.1 million, but we're seeing it's probably going to end up around the 5.5 because the market's extremely hot and we've got buyers ready to go once we finalize and close. And so we're waiting on final appraisal and the bank just a green light. So we're about 2 weeks out from that, if that. So
you'll buy a lot of land, subdivide, and sell piecemeal.
Yep. So what we say in Texas is buy it by the ranch and sell it by the pasture. And so we've split it up based on the roads. We have roads in it, but we're following the internal road structure that's there. We'll fix some of them up, clean them up a little bit, adding some wells, adding power, and doing some improvements, but it's still a ranchette, if you will. And what we do is bring that, you get a $3.5 million, a seven figure ranch for the $500,000 price. And it's covered in Axis and Barbados sheep. It's a great way for hunters in Texas that they can hunt year round and have these exotics to hunt. So it's knowing what your avatar is at the end, what they can afford and how we can get it to them. We have bank lending lined up for them, like preferred lender. That's a 2-page application up to that amount. And we get them pushed through. And these are typically high net worth individuals that want to take their clients and want to enjoy the hunting experience in this ranch, this land ownership, but don't want to have the 2,400. They want to own 4 square miles. They want to own, 200 acres or 300 acres.
This is really cool. You guys do the wild hog hunting?
Yeah, where you get to go hunt wild hogs. It's fun. Those things, when you hit them, they squeal.
I don't know if you guys, I'm sure you guys know Eddie Speed out of Texas, out of Dallas. He's a good friend. Maybe you don't know Eddie.
No,
but
I don't.
He's the notes guy. He is the big notes guy. Notes school. Okay. He's a good friend of mine. I'm a CG mastermind. I know he runs this annual thing. He's invited people to come and do this wild hog hunting. And that's...
Oh, nice.
That's a lot of fun. Yeah, I've been invited. I just never have found the time. But I can appreciate, if you give people enough land where they can do that, that's a good sport. And yeah. I guess in Texas, you have overpopulation of these wild hogs that are running around wild, and you got to get, got to keep it under control before they damage
property.
You can't
kill them fast enough. Sorry for your non-hunting listeners, but that's one of the things, the population control on that. They just can't be controlled because they reproduce so fast.
Yeah, it makes sense. That's an interesting use case scenario.
Yeah.
What do you do with land? So let's keep rolling forward. So I guess you find some partners, they participate in a deal like that, and the returns are pretty strong. I like the idea. I mean, let's talk offline. Maybe there's a project we can look at doing some business with. But it's certainly a specialty play. It's a very kind of a niche. Do you do any infills in the city where it's all rural, kind of a lot of acreage, relatively inexpensive?
So Mike, part of one of the businesses that I have is it's a joint venture company. It's called Plum Investment Group. And what that does is it puts up the cash for raw land because institutions don't typically like lower value land to loan against. So you're either using an unsecured line of credit or finding unsecured loan or using your own cash to buy land. What we do is we look at the merits of the deal and we do buy properties that would be used to build on. But, for us, we have found that the risk in infill lots, you need to know where your utilities are. You need to know if there's any building moratoriums, the codes and you're going to have more involved on the front side. And what we have found is that by focusing on that 2 to 3 hours, that bass boat property, we can eliminate majority of that risk and still make a higher return. So anytime you want to go to scale in any process, you remove the risk and look at how you can increase the velocity. And that's what we found with going to the bass boat process. So I answered your question in a long way to say, yes, we do look at infill lots, but it's not our main business because we know that the risk is a little bit greater there. And I can give you a perfect example. I bought a multifamily lot in Tennessee. There's an apartment complex next door, about 2.5 acres. It's next across the street from park. It's got the city swimming pool right there. It's a beautiful, beautiful lot. I think it gave $12,000 for it. And we're thinking, oh man, this is going to go good. The guy needed to fix something on his airplane and the $12,000 was going to pay for it. And this lot had just been sitting there. Well, we do our due diligence with the county. Everything comes back okay. They say, yeah, it's a multifamily. Everything's good to go. No problems. Well, the city had voted in a moratorium on sewer connections and for 7 years, and we were only like 2 years into it. So we were going to have to hold the lot for that long because we couldn't do anything with it. Well, that just took the value from, you know, $40,000, $50,000 minimum down to, well, what do you do with it? You need somebody that can sit on this for that play. And we ended up selling it to the neighbor, and it was a 25%. We made 25% on it, but it's still one of those type deals that, you know, there's just that little bit of risk on the front side that we missed because of a city council meeting that's not posted anywhere. You get stuck with something like that. So had this been 20 acres out in the middle of, 2 hours away from major metropolitan area, we would have said, hey, we don't care about a sewer connection because we would have put a septic on it because it would have perked. Someplace on that property would have perked and we wouldn't have to worry about it.
Yeah, that's a great example of key due diligence on any real estate acquisition. Sometimes you have these restrictive covenants imposed by the local governments that are not even obvious and not on title. I mean, that's, and the property is so, you know, relatively inexpensive, you're not going to go, you know, fight or sue or do anything. And even hiring somebody to deal with the city and try to push it through on a small project, economics are not there.
Yeah.
But you're right. Well, one beauty about land that you guys know better than I do, it doesn't depreciate. It doesn't lose value. So at least, there's been a lot of land buying around the country, including some of the, you know, big money players like Bill Gates. That's what I heard. He's buying a lot of land. I don't know what he's going to do with it, but
I'll interrupt you, and I hate to do that, but it's a wealth preservation play. Like you said, it doesn't depreciate. It doesn't spit off cash like buying an apartment complex or a rental house. You don't get the depreciations there. But what it does do is it does hedge your money and your wealth at a certain point and say, okay, hey, especially the way we buy, where we're buying between 25 and 35 cents on a dollar. If I told you that every dollar you gave me is worth really $3 now because you bought the land right and you just either had to hold it or to sell it to appreciate that, then you'd say, okay, well, I'll give you all the dollars I have because I want three times that. And then you continue to turn it. And so it's a way to put your money instead of sitting in the checking account because you don't have it out working for you. It's allowed to peel off some of that money maybe you've made and put that into another avenue that you know it's going to be safe.
I completely understand that. But here is the million or $1 billion question, right? You guys are specialists. And I mentioned the other guys discount lots. They're also specialists. That's what they do. A lot of work goes into finding these deals. It's a lot of marketing. I mean, you have to spend time, energy, have the systems and processes to go find these lots at 30 cents on a dollar, right?
Well, yes and no.
Well, that's what we teach. I mean, yeah. 41 videos later in about 8.5 hours, you got our blueprint to know how to do it. And that's the fun part about this is it is a business, but there is a way to learn it.
So how would people learn it? What's the website? Is there a website? How will they go by your program?
Yeah. So everything is Casual Fridays REI. Our website, casualfridaysrei.com, or on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, all Casual Fridays REI. And then our podcast, same thing, Casual Fridays REI. We're not hard to find. You type those words in, you're definitely going to come across us. And then we've got the land flipping blueprint. That's our training. Walks you A to Z how to do exactly what we do. We didn't leave anything out. It's got special emphasis on how we go buy these properties because everything we do is off market. And so we're really in depth on teaching you how to go find these deals and how to get them under contract, how to make sure you're actually buying something worth reselling, and then how to work with us from there.
Yeah. And it's, We've got a discount for your listeners, Mike. I hope that's okay if I say this, but we're going to knock $500 off our normal course price, and we'll get you a link so you can set that up for your listeners if you're okay with that.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate the generous offer. For those who are active, a lot of my guys are passive. I mean, that's the quick follow-up question, and we're running out of time, but the quick follow-up question, do you guys offer essentially a passive investor option where, again, active, it's a training program. Yep. They have to go spend, and from my experience, and I've been through some heaviest masterminds and the most, you know, the biggest educators around the country in my network. The observation is maybe 2%, 1 or 2% of people actually do it. They buy the program, very small percentage actually do it. The rest, I don't know what happens, but they don't get it done for some reason, right? So sometimes it's better when they're passive. I mean, you take their money and you do something with it because you know what to do with it, and you get them in return. Do you have that option? You guys have that, you know?
Yeah, we don't do it as a fund though. So each project's done individually, and a person owns a piece of that equity in there. So we handle it with a management piece of it, but of course, but there's a passive port to that. So that would just be reaching out to myself or Adam through Adam or Justin at casualfridaysaria.com. Get your name on a list, and next time we have the next project come in, we send it out. It's very project specific because we underwrite it. And the thing about us is we don't put a deal up that we're not putting our own money in. So one of our things from the very beginning was we put our money where our mouth is. And that's we hold equity stake in everything that we do because our money's in there.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I absolutely love and believe skin in the game. I mean, let's chat. Maybe we'll do something together. But for most folks that I know, you know, it's a lot of work. I mean, this business is a game of specialization. I mean, I know a lot of guys who do this through CG Mastermind and other ones. And it's for that 98% of the people, they just can't, you know, for whatever reason. So if you can turn the money and manage it well, and they can, you know, somehow cross the bridge, know, like, and trust. Because I don't know you guys well enough. I mean, honestly, straightforward. I love talking with you, and we'll start slowly building something. But know, like, and trust, and then you guys, the cowboy in charge of their money, and you're running with the money, and hopefully you're going to make the right decisions and not buy, you know, some toxic land that... It's something to watch out. If you buy land with toxic waste, you got to deal with the cleanup. But that aside, if you buy well, it could be the land of opportunity, right?
Yes, sir. I like that. No pun intended.
The land of opportunity. Yeah.
Hey, America is a land of opportunity. I came here when I was 18 in 1989, and I found America to be the land of opportunity. I mean, that's the truth. Now things are a little... going sort of in the strange direction. I didn't expect it, but I could tell you that things are definitely different now than before. But I still think this country is a land of opportunity in comparison to where I come from. And with all the criticism, everything else, we're still, you know, the greatest country in the world. That's, you know, that's what I say as a citizen, as a patriot.
Yeah, no, I agreed. Yep. Agreed.
Gentlemen, thank you kindly. Appreciate your wisdom. And, hopefully we'll reconnect soon enough. And CasualFridaysREI.com is the way to get a hold of you.
Yeah, thanks.
Have a great day.
We appreciate it. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Big Mike Fund Podcast. To receive your copy of Mike's How to Choose a Smart Real Estate Fund book, head to BigMikeFund.com or visit Amazon and type Mike's slot name. Keep listening and keep investing Big Mike style. See you on the next episode.